You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary Parish in Evanston, co-hosting this morning.
Twice in a week.
Back shows.
That hasn't happened.
Wayne Majors.
Probably 7 or 8 months.
Vice President and Chief of Staff, Loyola University.
Long time.
Wayne, we did the program on Monday and now back on Friday. And what a difference
they
in temperature.
They invited us back.
We're still
hard
on the
to
air.
Believe. Yeah.
A little bit of difference in temperature. On Monday, it was rather warm. And here it is Friday.
Fall is in the air, yeah.
I think fall is what? Next Wednesday or Thursday?
Huh?
So how's your week?
That's right. Good. Busy week, busy weekend, busy next week.
Now you have
that
a,
sums it up.
You'll be up in Minnesota?
Going up to northern Minnesota on Sunday.
Right.
Looking forward to that. It's going to be 45 degrees up there, I'm sure.
Are we taking a Vikings game or something?
No. I have a board meeting up there, so I'll be working. I'll be working. As I do 7 days a week. Maria's smiling because
24/7.
Maria, when you work for the Jesuits for 30 years, you know it's this. It starts with a 5 day week, then it goes to 6, and eventually just settles in at 7.
Moves up to 7 days.
That's
our phone number.
That's called productivity.
It is.
That's right. 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. Here on Catholic Community Faith, Relevant Radio. 9:50 a.m. in Chicago on this Friday, and the time coming up on 9:02. We have with us in studio Maria Kolchitsky, co-chairperson of the St. Nicholas Eparchy Golden Jubilee to be held the weekend of September 24th. I'm ahead of myself. September 24th and 25th. And Maria, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
And we're also waiting for, I know, Father Basil Salkowski, who was on his way here, probably caught in traffic somewhere, and he'll be here. But let me read this, though. The St. Nicholas Eparchy is celebrating a 50th anniversary later this month, and Father Basil, when he gets here, will address the differences between the Byzantine and Latin rites, how the Eparchy is structured, how the services are different, origins in Greek church. He will also address the history of the church in Ukraine and how it continued to operate in Ukraine and around the world during a period of suppression. And I think we have with us walking in right now is Father Basil Salkowski. Welcome, Father Basil, making a grand appearance. And do comb your hair, Father Basil.
If you don't mind.
Thanks, Jim.
I'd also like to mention that we're very honored to have coming for our celebration our major archbishop, Sviatoslav Shevchuk, who was just recently elected. He is the head of the entire Ukrainian Catholic Church around the world on every continent, 6 million
Catholics. Now, where is his residence, by the way?
Kyiv. Ukraine.
Okay, in Ukraine. And so now welcome Father Basil Salkowski, pastor of Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Palos Park, which is a Ukrainian Catholic church in the Byzantine tradition that is part of the Eparchy of St. Nicholas in Chicago. And Father Basil is the dean of the Chicago area parishes within the Eparchy that includes 48 parishes in the western United States. Father Basil, welcome to the radio program this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm very honored to be here.
And first of all, catch your breath. And, you know, maybe we'll talk about the celebration a little bit later on, but I think sometimes many people are confused regarding the Roman Rite and the Byzantine and Latin Rites. So maybe just help our listeners in a nutshell, what is the Byzantine Rite and how does it different and then similar to the Latin Rite?
The Byzantine Rite, it happens to be the second largest rite, or we also call it a church, within the Catholic Church. being the Western Rite or the Latin or the Roman Rite, the one that has the greatest number of faithful, and then it is the Byzantine Rite. The Catholic Church diversifies into, I would say, four major branches or four major churches, having the Latin Rite, the Byzantine Rite, the Coptic Rite, and the Chaldean Rite. All these being rather Eastern rites.
But under the umbrella Catholic.
Correct, yes. By all means, I guess if one of the ways of knowing that you're Catholic, it is, are you under the Pope? Yes, we are under the Pope. We follow the Pope's directives. We are different than the Roman Catholic Church or the Latin Rite in a way of portraying our faith, expressing our faith, as our faith was developed in the Byzantine Empire and around 998 when Ukraine was christened, it inherited the rituals and the rite of Byzantium. And so therefore, as a matter of fact, that reason we call ourselves Ukrainian Greek Catholics.
So let's talk about the rite. Let's talk about the start with the differences between the Roman Rite and the Byzantine Rite. What are some of the top two or three key differences in how you worship, how you celebrate?
The Divine Liturgy that we celebrate is always the priest leading the community. So he always facing the altar.
Back to the congregation.
Rather, I think everybody is actually facing the altar.
Okay.
So there is no one having his back against anyone because everyone is looking at the same direction, which is east. And that's where the altar usually is, facing east. So so the priest leads the congregation facing the sacraments. When we always, probably one of the differences is that on the main altar, we always keep the sacraments. So when we worship, we are always facing the sacraments.
Okay. Another difference.
Another difference is that... I always use this example to explain it to my people when they come, or especially when I have guests coming to our church. There's two ways of reaching out to God. It's the so-called ascending theology and the descending theology. And I think it is very well seen in the Roman Catholic Church, this descending theology. God taking a place within us in the most common ways. If you look into many of the Roman Catholic churches, the altar is pretty much in the middle and surrounded by the faithful.
Mm-hmm.
There is this, almost like a very casual interrelation between the priest and the faithful. As when you walk into a Byzantine Rite church, you seem to forget your everyday life and go one step up, and you are in the realms of the of
God. So more of an ascending theology.
Yeah, that is an ascending theology. That is like you are to leave the ground, so to speak, and reach out to the higher realms, the higher choir of angels and the icons and so forth, putting us, so to speak, in heaven.
Okay. Is the Mass that we're used to in the Roman Rite essentially the same components within the Byzantine Rite, or is it dramatically different?
No, it is the same. It is the same. We have the preparation of the gifts.
You have two parts, the Liturgy of the Word.
Yes, the
right.
Liturgy
of the Eucharist.
Word and the Liturgy of the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is indeed the same,
okay.
The same structure. Okay. By attending the Mass or Divine Liturgy in our church. If you are a Roman Catholic and you wish to do so, and it is a Sunday, you definitely are fulfilling your obligation.
That's what correct. The question, that was the burning with, question on the minds of our listeners this
with
morning.
With the collection.
With the collection.
With the collection, of course.
You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. We're talking about the Byzantine tradition within the Catholic Church with Father Basil Sarkovsky and also with Maria Kulchitsky. And it is 9:09 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith and Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. I'm Father Greg Sackwith along with Wayne Majors, and the time is 9:12 on this brisk Friday morning in Chicago, but warmer weather due over the weekend into next week. It's still officially summer, Wayne, but it doesn't quite feel that way. And our phone number, 312-255-8408. And our guests are Father Basil Slokovsky, pastor of Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Palos Park, which is a Ukrainian Catholic church in the Byzantine tradition that is part of the Eparchy of St. Nicholas in Chicago. Also with us, Maria Kulchitsky, co-chairperson of the St. Nicholas Eparchy Golden Jubilee, the weekend of September 24th and 25th, and that their major archbishop coming from Kiev to participate, and on Sunday the 25th, Cardinal Francis George will be the homilist at the liturgy, which will include some 20 hierarchs and representatives from 20 parishes from across the U.S. Maria, tell us something about that weekend, and we'll be talking more about it next weekend, but just give us a little sneak preview.
Well, I think if you want to get the flavor and the taste of the Byzantine ritual and their liturgy in full color, at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, we're holding the pontifical liturgy of thanksgiving, at which we're welcoming Cardinal George, our Patriarch Sviatoslav, our Metropolitan from Philadelphia, our Bishop Richard, who was the host for the ceremony. You will see the most colorful array of a hierarchical dress that is possible to see in one place. Our liturgy is sung without musical instruments. Our churches do not have statues in them, but they're extremely colorful, very painted in bright colors. And the responses will be sung by a 48 male chorus, the Bandurist chorus, Ukraine, very famous Ukrainian chorus. And if you want to hear a spectacular celebration of faith, that will be something that you might want to see. There will be a procession first. We have 20 parishes coming in from our 48 parishes. We have 21 at this point that we know are going to be represented.
And this is on Sunday, September 25th at 3 p.m.
on the
to
corner,
be held where?
Oakley and Rice, which is just east of Western Avenue and just north of Chicago Avenue, the church with the green domes that you can see from all around the city. It's been there for more than 100 years now. And then on Saturday, there will be a procession from St. Voldemar in Olha Parish, which is just south of us, to the cathedral, bringing the icon of the Jubilee, which has been traveling around for the last 18 months to every parish of the Jubilee, where it's been to every parish of the eparchy, where it's been venerated, and then it's coming back, and it will be put permanently into the...
There are 5 Ukrainian parishes in Chicago, is that right?
Yes, we can say that. Yes,
5.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
And how? Tell us about the faithful. Is that been a growing community over the past several years? Is it pretty stabilized? Tell us a little bit about that part of the church.
We can definitely say that there is a blending of the new immigrants, especially since give it or take it the last 10-15 years. Many people arrived from Ukraine and established themselves in the that we know as the Ukrainian village.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout our parishes, we do have a use of 2 languages. As a matter of fact, in my parish, the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Palos Park, south side of Chicago, we carry our services in English and in Ukrainian, which means that I do the reading of the gospel and the preaching, the announcements, and parts of the divine liturgy in both languages, not repeating but intercalating the 2 languages.
You know, Father Basil, I know that in the Roman Catholic Rite, the Western Rite, you know, we struggle with attendance, and we're always looking for ways to evangelize and, you know, welcoming people back to the faith community, back to the church. In your particular Ukrainian Catholic churches, is attendance up, down, same over the last 15, 20 years?
I think as we look at the world in general, attendance in Catholic churches has diminished. And depending where you're at, some of the churches or some of the members rather left the church due to the fact that the neighborhood deteriorated a little bit, or they were afraid of going to the very church. And also, I do believe that on the same time, you see this revival of our head of the church, and especially our bishops now are pressing for us to go back to our roots, which means to embrace that faith and traditions that our church thrilled, when our church was very much alive when used these rituals and so forth. So I do believe that in spite of the fact that, yes, there is decline, but at the same time, there is a comeback to the church.
You know, maybe you said something that really hit me, and that is where I pastor at St. Mary Parish in Evanston. You think of the Archdiocese of Chicago with about 360 parishes. There's a great number of parishes for people to choose, and usually it's people in their neighborhood going down to their local Catholic church. Some people cross the boundary and go to a different parish. But like when you pastor at Nativity BVM in Palos Park, your community is coming from all over, and not just the neighborhood in Palos Park, but they're coming from a long ways. We're at St. Mary's in Evanston. A good number of our people are in Evanston, maybe in the Rogers Park area, maybe a few from Wilmette or going from Skokie. You know, they come from different parts. But in your community, they're coming a long way. So how do you go out or go about evangelizing to bring some of your people from your community home when it's such a large geographical area?
I think our people put a great effort, and they make a lot of sacrifices to be part of what their ancestors passed on to them. This is the cherishing the language, cherishing the traditions. So in spite of that, having this difficulty of traveling distances, I mean, our parishes are, or rather my parish, I have parishioners traveling all the way from Joliet, all the way from the east side of Chicago. And really, I have a very, very few families that live less than, let's say, 5 miles from the church. Mm-hmm. So most of the people are traveling, give or take it, 10, 15 miles to get to church.
We're talking about the Ukrainian Catholic Church in the Byzantine tradition with Father Basil Sarkovsky and also Maria Kulchitsky. And you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. And it is 9:19 in the morning. We'll be right back.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice DVD and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease the transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800. Or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800, or visit ltp.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Wayne Majors and Father Greg Sackles with you this morning on a Friday in Chicago, talking with Father Basil Salkovsky, who is the pastor of Nativity BVM Ukrainian Catholic Church in Palos Park, and also Maria Kulchitsky, who is the co-chair of their Golden Jubilee Committee, which is hard at work for an event coming up next weekend, September 24th and 25th. Father Basil, part of the history of the Ukrainian Catholic Church is that for a number of years, for five decades, it was really an underground church. Talk a little bit about that history and really how it has impacted and shaped your work today.
I remember very well back in 1989 when all of a sudden I'm finishing the Divine Liturgy and I came back into the rectory. At this time I'm working in Detroit. They announced that our church was finally declared free so we could come out of the underground. That church survived basically through the leadership of the bishops that were still underground, that communicated with their priests wherever they were, and by bringing on to the people the faith and even as the sacraments are concerned, baptisms and confirmations and weddings being done in homes or in the woods or away from any big cities, away from every place. And that is how that church survived for those so many years, of give it or take it, about five decades.
You know, Basil, when the church was underground for roughly those 50 years, you know, really, if an individual or a small group was arrested and captured, Am I right in saying they were sent to Siberia for hard labor?
Not only many of our priests were sent into Siberia as many bishops, but many of our faithful also were sent out there. They would not renounce their faith. They would not accept the, at that time, forcefully the Orthodox Church from Russia or from the Moscow.
So many of them died in the labor camps.
Many perished in labor camps. Yes.
You know, beyond the sacred liturgy, the other foundational piece of the Catholic faith are the sacraments, and you mentioned earlier the concept of the ascending theology. Does that concept of ascending theology, which really manifests itself in your sacred liturgy, does it also carry over to, for example, preparation for the sacraments and how you work with the faithful and getting ready for baptism and confirmation and other sacraments in the church?
Yes, as you have it in the Roman Catholic Church, always that you go through a preparation or preparatory classes to bring the people into the church, the same thing we do it as when we are preparing them for baptisms. One of the beauties of the Byzantine Rite is that when we are accepting someone into the church, we accept them fully, so to speak. When we baptize, we confirm at the same time, and we also give them the Holy Eucharist.
The whole rites of initiation,
correct,
right there. Correct. Infancy.
Yes. At one moment, you really initiate that church, that person into the church.
And what age is that usually done at?
Infants. Give it or
take
it.
So really, there's got to be a tremendous focus on the parents as they welcome their son or daughter into the community, because the best thing the infant can do the day of his or her baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, is sleep. You know, not cry.
Correct.
And the baby cries. Uh-huh. So really there's got to be a great focus on mom and dad as they welcome their child into this community of faith. And then someday when that child's old enough, high school, college, in their 20s, you know, reaffirms the faith, rejects it, goes to a different faith. But somehow it's going to be so important in the preparation for the parents as they welcome their child into this community.
Definitely. The child, especially when you're looking into small children, 2, 3, 5 years old, and when they see their parents receiving the Holy Eucharist, and they're able to receive the Holy Eucharist at the same time, it makes them really partake of what their parents are partaking, and in that way they become more attached to their faith. At the age of 7 or 8, give it or take in the second grade, that child goes through the sacrament of reconciliation. That's what we call the first confession and solemn Holy Communion.
Okay.
When they become responsible already for their actions and so forth, so they begin going also through the sacraments
of confession.
Now, before
we end this first half of our program, Father Basil, what is the biggest myth regarding the Ukrainian Rite, the Byzantine Rite, and the Roman Catholic Rite, the Latin Rite? What's the biggest myth you'd want to say on the air to clear up?
I do believe that everyone that enters into our church, they immediately think that we are Orthodox, that we are not within the Catholic Church. So I think that is the biggest myth, yeah. A lack of knowledge that within the Catholic Church, there are many ways of expressing our faith. And being the largest, the Latin, and then the second one, it is the Byzantine Rite.
Well, as we bring this half to a close, Maria, just maybe give us a phone number or a web that people can learn more about this big event, September 24th and 25th. A phone number they can call you or call your office?
773-276-5080.
The number once again.
And the eparchy email website is enucc.org.
And the phone number once again?
773-276-5080.
I want to thank in a very special way Father Basil Solkovsky, pastor of Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Palos Park, which is a Ukrainian Catholic church in the Byzantine tradition that is part of the eparchy of St. Nicholas in Chicago. And a special thanks to Maria Kolchitsky, co-chair of the St. Nicholas Eparchy Golden Jubilee to be held the 24th and 25th of September. Thank you very much for joining us here on Catholic Community Faith. And I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Magyar. We'll be back right after a break. And do not touch that dial.
Join Team Catholic Charities for the 2011 AIDS Run Walk in Grant Park on Saturday, October 1st as an active participant or sponsoring member. 100% of the funds raised by the team are returned to Catholic Charities' HIV/AIDS case management programs, food pantry, and ministry in Cook and Lake Counties. For more information, please call the Catholic Charities Office of Volunteer Relations at 312-655-7322. Together, we can make a difference.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic
Community
Faith.
You guys are having a little too much fun there between the host and the producer. We'll have to
just
keep you after class and talk about
that. A good time
with
engineer Michael May. And Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Magyars on Catholic Community Faith. The time is 9:32 on this brisk Friday morning in Chicago. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Are we having fun over there, Wayne? Just reading?
I'm reading. Yeah, this is a fascinating group we're going to talk about now.
Okay. We are pleased to welcome during this segment John Rosilla and Dan Chorney. I've known Dan for many years. Co-coordinators of the annual benefit dinner of the Society of St. James for the Apostle, which takes place on September 19th at Drury Lane. The Society of St. James, the Apostle, a Boston-based organization that sponsors diocesan priests who want to work for a specified period of time in Latin America. And John and Dan will talk about the origins of the Society and how many U.S. priests have been supported in their work in Latin America by the Society. And John and Dan, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you.
Good morning. Dan, I think I've known you for almost, over 30 years.
Well, I worked for the Archdiocese for 35 years.
What year did you start in the Archdiocese?
I moved here in 1962, and I was working for a fundraising firm back then. And I stayed with that firm until 1970. And then in 1970, I and another gentleman by the name of Tom Hanrahan,
sure,
Cardinal Cody, wanted to establish his own development office. like colleges and hospitals sure. and them had. And if I'm not mistaken, that's probably the first diocese or archdiocese that had a development office.
Well, that goes back 40 years. And John, you've been part of the archdiocese for how long?
About 40 years. But I'm in DuPage, so I'm in the Joliet Diocese for another 40 years.
Okay.
Well, geez, it makes you 80 years old. It can't be.
81.
You're 81?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. 80. I thought you were about 65 or 70.
No, thank you.
God bless both of you. Well, tell us about the origins of the society.
Well, what I know about it, how I got involved in it, is that Father Roach ran the first dinner that they had. Father Jim Roach.
Sure.
And
great priest.
Of course, Monsignor Moriarty, who was a Joliet diocesan priest, was a good friend of mine because I live in the Diocese of Joliet also. And after Father Roach left, I was in the development office, of course, and so they came and they said, well, who can run this dance or this dinner? And so I accepted the responsibility because I was very close to Father Moriarty, who at that time was director of the society. And that was in 1990. And then each year I've worked with it. As far as the organization itself, it was founded by Cardinal Cushing. And they draw from many, many dioceses. In fact, today they have priests from 25 different diocese and archdiocese, 25. Now, we have from Chicago area, Father Kahl, who was the first priest from Chicago to go down there and work with him. And then later, Father Moriarty from Joliet went. And then back to Chicago again, Father Hayes, who's presently director.
Father Kevin Hayes and I were ordained at St. Mary the Lake Mundelein Seminary. Kevin, I think, was class of 77. I was ordained in 79. Oh. A wonderful priest, the Archdiocese of Chicago, but we were in the theology together. And also we were then together at Niles College Seminary of Loyola, which is now St. Joseph College Seminary of Loyola University. Mm-hmm. So Kevin's a great, great priest.
Well, he still is, as far as I'm concerned.
Tremendous.
He's a fabulous guy. But he's going out of office in February. I think I said that before. But I think his plan is to stay with the society. The priests that volunteer get their bishop's permission for a five-year stay with the society. And then after 5 years, they can renew it. Like Monsignor Moriarty was there for about 25 years. And he's retired now. But there's another priest by the name of Father Kenny, Don Kenny, from the Joliet Diocese, and he's working down there now.
Give us an idea of the kinds of work that when a priest becomes a member of the society, the kind of work that they do down in Latin America.
Well, they actually go into what are the poorest communities, if you can call them communities. They're villages. Mm-hmm. And they essentially establish the infrastructure, they bring them sanitation, they bring them housing, they bring them schools, and they teach the people how to develop skills that they can market and develop an economy for the village.
So this is hard missionary work.
This is very hard missionary work, and of course one of the big things is they do build churches. Mm-hmm. And they are, in fact, probably the most sincere people I know that carry the love of Christ to these people.
I mean, they are literally, like Father Kevin Hayes, you become a missionary. I know that in the entire priesthood of Father Kevin, he was in the Hispanic community in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Forgot offhand where he was when he was newly ordained in 77. So really, it was no surprise to his brother priest in the Archdiocese when he joined the society. Mm-hmm. We thought to ourselves, "That's Kevin. That's Kevin."
Mm-hmm. And he's still like that. Their biggest job though is caring for the people, and naturally they're just like other parishes, like we have here in this country, they need money to operate. So as a result of us raising this money for them, we've raised in the 23 years that I've been with it, I don't know, but we average something like, I'd say probably $30,000 a year average that we've raised. And I was talking to Father Hayes about this, coming here, and ask him if, you know, when the organization was founded, and I'm not really sure of that date, but it's about 25, 26 years old.
Talking about the Society of St. James the Apostle, which has their big fundraiser coming up on September 19th.
Monday night.
At Drury Lane Theater. And you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. We'll be right back.
September is National Hunger Action Month, and Catholic Charities needs you to join the fight to end hunger in our communities. Organize a food drive in your neighborhood, donate to one of Catholic Charities' many food and nutrition programs, or sponsor one of our food pantries. Visit www.catholiccharities.net/hunger or call us at 312-655-7315 to find out how you can be a hunger hero. Join the fight to end hunger today.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Are you ready for the upcoming changes in the words of the Mass? The revision of the Roman Missal brings innovations that will affect us all. Whether you are a teacher, catechist, priest, or parishioner, excellent resources are available to help you understand these changes in the words of the liturgy. For more information about how you can prepare yourself and your assembly, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit www.revisedromanmissal.org.
Welcome back to the program, talking about the Society of St. James the Apostle, which works to place priests primarily from the U.S., right, down into Latin America? Other countries as well.
Yes.
Most of the priests really are from Ireland.
Is that right?
In fact, the next director that was just recently elected and is going to take over from Father Hayes is an Irish priest.
Okay.
Yeah. But, for example, in this country, the Society of St. James will place a priest from the United States who tends to be a diocesan priest. So like Kevin Hayes, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, were a diocesan priest, then to go serve as a missionary for 5 years or more. So from the U.S., it's taking priests from the different dioceses. Now, what makes it hard, though, is sometimes a bishop may be reluctant to release a priest because of the shortage.
Of course.
So, the fact that Kevin Hayes has done marvelous work in other parts of the world, but it's one less great pastor here in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
That's right.
Correct. That's the catch.
Yeah. So how do you give us a little idea of how the supply and the demand gets parceled out? A priest here in the Archdiocese of Chicago, for example, gets permission from the cardinal to become a member of the society for this 5-year period. How is it determined where that priest goes?
It's determined, as I say, it's determined in the location, as John said, different. Parts of South America.
Okay, by the director of the society.
And I'm sure they have a board also.
Uh-huh.
that they decide, you know, how long a priest can be there and how long.
And does a priest usually go to the same place for 5 years, or do they move around?
No, they usually are in the same place.
Okay.
It takes a lot of work and energy and planning and organization to develop these villages. And it takes somebody that's been on the job for quite a while. And these guys, the ones I've had any contact with, really love what they're doing, have a real sense of fulfillment.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you've got to have the fire in the belly and the passion to do this kind of work, because it's difficult.
Yes. See, what's very interesting is that when you're ordained in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and so my case was 1979, you know, in our hearts we're saying we will be men and priests of the Archdiocese for the rest of our lives. However, the Spirit moves in marvelous ways where an individual priest may feel a calling to serve as a missionary, not because he doesn't like the Archdiocese of Chicago, the parish he was at. It's usually the exact opposite. He loves the Archdiocese, loves the parish he has served, but feels a calling to serve as a missionary priest at this particular time in his life. So I've talked to, like, my classmate, Father Phil Cleary, who is down with the in Mexico running an orphanage and doing a phenomenal job. But the day he was ordained, he had no clue he'd ever leave the Archdiocese. He's been down there now over 20 years. So the Spirit, it's like that great line, life is what happened while I was making other plans. So true. Sure. Life is what happened while I was making other plans. We think we're in control, but the Spirit of the Lord will take us in ways and directions we never thought possible if we are open and trusting.
Let's talk about the benefit dinner coming up on the Monday. You've got some outstanding honorees. Tell us about it.
One of the honorees is Bishop Kane, who's the has the vicariate two.
Correct.
And he's responsible for 62 parishes.
And I'm one of them in St. Mary's. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he's one of them.
And
yeah.
every vicariate has a problem parish. And just saw him on the street the other day. We were talking about which one is his, and your name came up.
Yeah, there you go. Then we
good old Wade.
So he's from Chicago, and the second person from Chicago is Dr. Lawler. He is an OB-GYN who has committed his entire practice to none birth control issues.
He's called the Crusader of the Unborn.
Yeah, we've dubbed him that.
Yeah, I like that nickname. And also,
because he is so committed, and he's a marvelous person. He's 54, has 11 children.
Young guy.
So he practices what he preaches.
Wow.
11 children.
Then from the Joliet Diocese, we have Deacon McConnell, who's at the Notre Dame Parish in Clarendon Hills. And Deacon McConnell, is, as a matter of fact, had been at our parish, Ascension, in Oakbrook Terrace, and was transferred a few years ago to Notre Dame.
And who's the fourth?
The fourth is Father Henry Wilkening. Father Wilkening is 91 years old.
91.
This year, a couple months ago, celebrated his 64th year as a priest.
For the Diocese of Joliet?
Yes.
Well, he was in Chicago. He was ordained in Chicago. He was a Chicago priest. And then when the split came, he was pastor of a parish out there in that area that became part of Joliet Diocese.
So, Dan, was he ordained at Mundelein Seminary?
Yes, sure was. In fact, two priests from his classmate here in Chicago are coming to the dinner.
Mm. Now, do the math. What year was he ordained? See, 65... It was about 1947.
Somewhere there.
Yeah. 1947.
You were just a young boy back then. Just wanted to see who was paying attention.
Probably going to school here.
Doing this show, actually. Dan, you mentioned your history in the Archdiocese in development and fundraising. This dinner is obviously an important piece of raising funds for the society. How else does the society raise some of its money, or is this it?
Well, just they have a mail, you know, just like most dioceses, and they have annual appeals. Mm-hmm. And they have a monthly mailing that goes out to a number of people. I would just estimate, because I know there's over 4,000 right here in Chicago. And, and Joliet, they get it, a monthly mail program that goes out. And it has a lot of the history and what they're doing as far as the work that they're doing and pictures of the things that they're doing.
So this is just a great, I just thought of it as, I think one of Father Henry's classmates is a priest I lived with for 18 years, Father Tom Maher.
Oh, yes.
Who's the Archdiocese of Chicago. His brother, Father Art Maher, ordained right around Tom's time, a little bit younger, but then chose to be a priest of the Diocese of Joliet and Art Maher. But Tom Maher is now 90 years old.
Yes.
One of the most dedicated priests I have ever met my entire life. He's now at Resurrection Life Center, and now he deals with the community there and serves the people as a resident of the Resurrection Life Center. Before we go to break, we'll get again at the close, but give us a phone number. People can learn more about the Monday night dinner to even maybe want to get a table or a seat.
The number to get in touch with me would be 630-751-4532.
That number once again, John?
630-751-4532.
And is there a webpage?
No, we don't have a webpage.
And then you're looking for John Russillo. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Majors, who's Vice President and Chief of Staff of Loyola University, and our guest, John Russillo and Dan Chorney, who are co-coordinators of the annual benefit dinner of the Society of St. James the Apostle. The banquet takes place this Monday, September 19th, at Drury Lane. We'll be back right after these breaks.
I'm Father Robert Barron. Our new Catholicism documentary series and study program can now be pre-ordered online. Go to CatholicismPreorder.com. Will you help me introduce this one-of-a-kind film series and catechetical program to your parish, school, and diocese? Journey around the world and deep into the faith in this 10-part, 10-hour epic adventure. Learn more at CatholicismPreorder.com.
Game with the Catholic Charities Junior Board for a good cause. Saturday, November 12th is the Junior Board's signature fundraiser, and we hope you'll join us. The 5th annual Charities Royale Casino Night and Silent Auction will take place at the beautiful St. Ignatius College Prep. We have an A-list lineup with live music by Underwater People, delicious food from Cafe Bianda, 3 open bars, blackjack, craps, roulette, an incredible lineup of silent auction and raffle items, including 2 trips to the Bahamas, and much more. Tickets are only $80 and are on sale now at CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard. This black tie optional event is open to anyone over the age of 21. More than half of your ticket price will go directly to the Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Programs, providing food, clothing, shelter, and other crucial emergency services to the poorest of the poor in Cook and Lake Counties. Game with us for a good cause. For details, call Lisa at 312-655-7932 or visit CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard.
Welcome back to the program, talking about the Society of St. James the Apostle. Big fundraising dinner coming up on Monday, September 19th, this coming Monday. Looking at a list, gentlemen, of the past honorees of the Society, it's quite an impressive list of clergy and lay folks. Talk a little bit about how you kind of come up with what the cohort of honorees is going to be every year and what you look for.
Well, I you know, working in the Archdiocese for the years that I worked here, I knew a lot of the people. And they were, I would throw their name to John. Prior to his getting involved, John, you've been involved, what, now about 10 years?
Oh, about 13.
13 okay. years. And we had, I'd meet with Monsignor Moriarty and the Bishop of Joliet, Bishop Emmys, used to recommend names. Yeah. But we just find people that, as John says, that we call them, they're Christ heroes.
Yeah. For instance, Dr. Lawler, in the Joliet Diocesan publication, Hope, he was featured, and that's how we became aware of him. Mm-hmm. And so we interviewed him and really were impressed with his position.
And every year you try to get an outstanding clergy member and also an outstanding layperson or two, right?
Yeah, well, we try to establish follow what we call loosely the hierarchy of the church. Mm-hmm. A prominent leader of the church, a pastor or an associate, layperson, a deacon. So those four categories are what we try to fill every year. It's something we started a few years back. We hadn't been doing that as we...
You look at the people who've won in past years. There's some outstanding names. I mean, go back to 1989 with the late Cardinal Joseph Bernardin, and even in 2009, Monsignor Ken Velo, and then you've got Bishop John Manns, Bishop Peter Sarton. You got some great, great people in the laity. And
I think Bishop Jacobowski.
Bishop Jacobowski.
Bishop Gorman.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop Ray Gettert. 2005,
yeah, so it's got a great choices here. About how many people are you expecting at the dinner on Monday night?
Well, I'd say right now it looks like we might have 225. But we've had larger crowds. I think our top crowd has been about 450. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember who that
was.
Yeah,
we've been affected by the economy.
Now, your goal is to raise how much Monday? Did you say $30,000 to raise on Monday evening?
Yes.
That's a lot of money in this very tough economy.
Right now, the income so far that we have, you know, we have the dinner, and we charge $100 a plate for that. But we also have a raffle, and then we have a silent auction, and then we have ads in the program book, our messages of congratulation in the book.
I would like to publicly thank Wayne Magyars for writing a check for $1,000 to the society. How about a head?
Father, there you go.
This is the second.
We are taking phone calls for ads, but thank you, Wayne, for kicking off the drive.
I'll make that commitment when I see Father Greg's face on one of these pages, but I'm still looking, and I haven't seen it.
But. Well, we'd ask anybody that wants to. They can call John, or they can call me. It's not too late yet to come to the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And can I give you my phone number?
Sure,
also?
Please do, Dan.
It's 630-964-2075.
That number once again.
630-964-2075. 2075.
And just in the last moment or two, Dan and John, you do great work for the society. You don't have to be doing this. What have you gotten from this in your years of doing it? Dan?
Well, I've worked very close with priests all my life. And I tell you, quite frankly, I love the priests. I think probably when I was a young boy, I used to think that tell mom I want to be a priest, but that's many, many years ago. You didn't ask me my age, but I'm glad to tell you I'm 85 years old.
85?
Yeah. And I was in fundraising for 50 years. And in that 50 years, I met many bishops, many priests, and as a result of that, I just know the great work they do. They're fabulous. They're beyond, in my opinion, priests really do things beyond our expectations. For us, the people. And so I get a lot of it by maybe some way or other showing some appreciation, and let people also, by attending the dinner, show their appreciation.
John, how about you?
Well, 13 years ago, thereabouts, friends of ours got us interested in the organization, my wife and myself. And I've just been impressed with the work that these men do, the service that they provide. And, you know, we kind of take our lives for granted. And I think they open up our eyes to how other people have to struggle. And
I want to thank in a very special way, first of all, great comments on why you're doing what you're doing. But thank you to John Russillo and Dan Chorney, who are co-coordinators of the annual benefit dinner of the Society of St. James the Apostle, which takes place this Monday evening, September 19th. The Drury Lane tickets are still available. So thank you, Dan and John, for joining us here on Catholic Community of Faith. Special thanks to co-host Wayne Magyars. Have a safe trip up to Minnesota.
Thank you.
For your Loyola Board of Governors meeting, whatever it's called. Whatever you call that. And thanks also to our producer, Jim Dish and Diane Dunnigan, and to our wonderful engineer, Michael May. To all, God bless, have a great weekend, and go Bears.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.